You know, one of the things that the Spirit started, well, he's always starting things, you know. He's so cool. Friday night, the Holy Spirit started beginning. In fact, the word of the Lord was about, it's a season to overcome. And this morning, the Spirit put in my heart about getting a little bit more understanding about this season to overcome. And in fact, a little while ago, we talked about the necessity of overcoming and about the breakthrough anointing that God was beginning to pour out. And I want to talk a little bit about this season of overcome, because we are in a season. And what I mean by the season of overcome means if you don't overcome, you'll be overcome. Does everybody get it? See, it's one or the other. So you'll either be overcome, hello, or you're going to overcome. Now, all of this is in preparation. And I don't know how long we're going to continue to talk about this, but all of this is in preparation to prepare God's children for the ministry of kings. This is continuous. Season of overcome. Luke 4:1. And Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Now, this is very powerful, because he began to show me something here in this, is that, you know, first of all, Jesus went in the wilderness for 40 days. And he was being tempted by the devil in all areas. Now, he wasn't being tempted by his flesh. He was being tempted by the devil. Is everybody getting it? He was tempted by the devil. In what area? Thoughts. Amen? The devil would show up. He'd torment him. He'd do all kinds of things. He was trying to get him to falter. Now, one of the things that the Lord was showing me in this, he said, first of all, when you go back in the Old Testament, the people rejected a king. The Israelites did not want the King of Glory. They did not want God to be their king. They wanted a natural king, someone that they could touch and see and talk to. And the Spirit spoke through Samuel and said, listen, man, you're going to regret this. Because this king's going to take your money, he's going to require taxes, he's going to do all kinds of stuff. Why will you not accept the King of Glory, God Almighty? Because they wanted something tangible. Does everybody get it? Tangible. And the Lord began to show me that in Luke 4 was the preparation for kings. Now look at this. What was the first thing that happened to him? He went into the wilderness to be what? Tempted by the devil. And then he goes through and in verse 3, and it says, and the devil said to him, the devil what? He what? You better underline said. He said to him. Amen? He said to him. In other words, he spoke to him. He said, if you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread. Of course, he knew that he was hungry and so forth. He was fasting for 40 days. See, Jesus had to fulfill in 40 days what the Jews couldn't do for 400 years. Remember, God was calling people, he said that they would be a nation of what? Priests and kings. And because they grumbled and complained and all sorts of things of 40 years in the desert, right? And then they were in bondage for 400 years and they still couldn't come out. Jesus had to come to fulfill it. Remember, Jesus' purpose was to come to fulfill everything. And the Spirit said to me, he said, Jesus was also the example in the preparation to become the king. Everything that he did was an example. Everything that he did was a total example to become the king. And everything is being prepared for me and you that we are going through in this last days, last moments, is the ministry of kings. Does everybody get it? And then, of course, we know that the devil tempted him. And everything that Jesus responded to was utilization of the written eternal word. Because you cannot fight the devil with your reasoning, with your emotions, and with your carnal words. You will never defeat him. Amen? You must use, because you're fighting something spiritual, that means you must use words that are spiritual. Does everybody get it? Word, because the Bible says God's word will not return, right? It won't return void. Does everybody see this? Cool. Now, let's go a little further. In verse 14. Hallelujah. It says in verse 14, then what? Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He returned into what? In the power. Why? See, he first had to go take his authority. But y'all understand that. See, if you're not taking your authority, no power is released. Jesus went into the wilderness and took his authority, didn't he? He didn't cast the devil out, did he? He didn't do anything. He didn't use any power. Do you understand that? He used authority the whole time. The whole time in the 40 days of the wilderness, he used authority. He used authority. He used authority. He began to utilize authority because a king is always exercising authority. Everything he did was authority. When he came out, he began to use power. Does everybody get this? So Jesus went through the wilderness utilizing his authority. His authority. He used the word of God, didn't he? He never cast the devil out of the wilderness, did he? Hello? He didn't send him to hell. He didn't bind him. He didn't raise nobody from the dead. He didn't heal anybody. Does everybody get it? He used his authority for 40 days. Because the authority was never used before. Does everybody get it? Okay, now look it. And then it says, and then he returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding regions. And then he taught in their synagogues. Now look at, then he goes into the synagogue, and in verse 18, he proclaims this. He decrees this. He fulfills. Why? Because now he's walking in the power. Isn't he? He's walking in the power. Then he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Does everybody get it? He did not proclaim that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him prior to anything until he took his authority. Now we know that when he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and then the Spirit separated him. Amen? He separated him. He said, for 40 days, I'm going to lead you. He didn't tell him, I'm going to show you who you are. He said, I'm going to lead you. I'm going to teach you how to totally rely on me. Does everybody get it? And on that, Jesus took authority the whole time for 40 days. And then he came out. And then the power was there. The whole power, everything that was. And then he went to proclaim it, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. See, Jesus had to overcome. Does everybody get it? The first thing he had to overcome was himself. Hello? He could not go out and tell somebody, if you want to follow me, you must deny me, unless he could have denied himself first. There wasn't anything that Jesus did not ask someone else to do that he couldn't do, or he had already done it. He doesn't work that way. So then Jesus goes into the synagogue and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has what? Anointed me. Now he can proclaim it and decree it. To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To proclaim the liberty to the captives and the recovery of the sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed, of course, by the devil. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he says, and in this day, the scripture has been fulfilled. Do you understand something? And I know sometimes we get difficult carnally. That you are fulfilling scriptures. You are fulfilling prophecies. God uses you to fulfill things. Does everybody understand it? Jesus fulfilled it. The Bible says that Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. is the works of the devil done? No. Why? Because you and I are still walking in fulfilling it, aren't we? We are the body of Christ. I think people lose sight of that. That we truly are the body of Christ. In other words, we are the body that was left here. In fact, the Bible tells us that if it wasn't for the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit dwelling in the body of Christ, it's holding back powers of darkness right now, isn't it? Once the body of Christ is raptured and taken off this earth, it's going to be pretty bonkers. Because there won't be anything else to hold darkness back. Amen? So, we are in a season of overcome. And we must overcome. Jesus overcame. He overcame, paid the price all the way that you and I could have the Spirit of Christ. Because the Spirit of Christ's purpose is always to overcome and to fulfill. Amen? Go to Ecclesiastes 3. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 3. Is everybody there? Good. I'm not. I'll be there in a minute. Here we go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Season of overcome. Man, we got to overcome. No matter what. In verse 1. Would you read it with me? To everything there is a what? To everything there is a season. Everything has a season. Everything. A time for every purpose under heaven. So there is everything is associated with season and purpose. Amen? It says a time to be born, a time to die. Hello? I like that first one. There's a time to be born and a time to die. Did you notice how that is right in the right in the beginning? So this is it. Praise God. A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. In other words, time to get rid of the wrong seeds. A time to kill. A time to heal. A time to break down. And a time to build up. Now, those were just parts of the seasons, right? There's more. There's a time for everything. I just want to utilize these. And I utilize these first three because it ended with a time to build. It started with the first one is a time to die and ends with a time to build. Because you cannot build unless you die first. Does everybody get it? Oh, hallelujah. We are in a season of overcome. We must overcome. We know that there is a 40-year cycle. And we've talked about this before. And Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days to fulfill a 40-year cycle. And break off things in our life so that we do not go back in those cycles again. Amen? It is a 40-year cycle. Now, go to 2 Timothy 4. Oh, glory. 2 Timothy 4. You know, one of the areas is these mindsets that we keep coming into. Did you ever notice you keep going back to that same mindset? Sometimes it's because there's either been an open door to it, a heart that's been open to something that's where the enemy knows, or there's a prideful area that you believe you have dominion over already, and you're not paying attention to it. See, pride always brings blindness. So does fear. So you may say to yourself, you may think you're saying to yourself, but it could be another voice that's saying, man, you're strong in this area. Why don't you focus on this one? Once you lose focus on that one, is where the enemy goes after. Why? Because he knows that he's established a seed of pride in that area. Does everybody get it? Yeah, I got this mastered. Oh, that wasn't God. You don't have anything mastered. There's only one master. Does everybody get it? Once you begin to hear that, it's like, uh-oh. Yeah, I'm strong in this. No, you're strong in the Lord. In the power of His might and not your own. See, anything that's the opposite is of the enemy. Because he's always going to try to promote you. Yes, I'm strong in this. I got this down now. Oh, too many eyes. Then what he begins to do is causes you to focus. He actually begins to narrow your focus. Instead, see, we're supposed to have a broad focus. Why? Because we're to not only see all things, but know all things. See, if he can narrow your focus, then you're blinded in the other areas. Does everybody understand that? Good. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, is everybody there? And a couple of verses here, would you read it with me? He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be what? Ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will what? Not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own what? Desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in a couple things. All things. Hello. Do you understand that? See, the enemy works on this. He tries to narrow your focus. He says, you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. In other words, your calling. Be ready in season. We must be prepared and get prepared for the season. Does everybody understand that? And out of season is what you have learned in that season to overcome, allows you to take that and utilize it in circumstances to overcome your circumstances. Does everybody get that? In other words, in that season, the Bible says, be ready in season. Okay, so you're in a season. You're to be ready, right? Now, once the season of overcome ends, that, listen, overcome never stops, does it? But it's a specific season that the Holy Spirit is shaking His church, saying, listen, this is something I want to impart in you so that in this season you can take what you've learned in this season and apply it to your future circumstances. Hello? Is everybody all right? Glory. Deuteronomy 6. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And verse 10. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 6, verse 10. Is everybody there? All glory. Let's read this together. So it shall be, when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells, which you did not dig, vineyards and oil trees, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you what? Forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Let me share something. One of the first things that we must do to overcome is never forget where you came from. You must never forget where you came from. When you begin to forget where you came from, you lose gratitude and a good attitude. Does everybody understand that? Oh, man, that's where the enemy loves to come in. Why? Because he's just narrowed your focus. Never forget where you came from. Amen? Listen, and we can't forget where we came from. And understand this, we are entering a new level of promise. We are entering another level of fulfillment. These are all areas where God is bringing us to, but we can never forget where we came from. We can't forget the things of God either. He said, verse 13, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him. In other words, you shall reverence him and serve him, and shall take oaths in his name. In other words, you're making covenant with God. And you better, if you have made a covenant at all in the name of the Lord, you better fulfill it. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. You shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Read verse 19. To cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. So it's our responsibility to cast out the enemies. Amen? Oh, glory. Let's go a little further. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Satan. Hello. In the earth, remember, Pharaoh represented Satan. Egypt represents the carnal realm, the earth, the natural realm. And the Lord brought us out of the world and the ways of the world with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against the world of Satan and his household. Then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all of these commandments before the Lord God, before the Lord our God, as he commanded us. Amen? In other words, we cannot come to a place where we've forgotten where we've come from, and we cannot come to a place where we forget the commands of the Lord, in other words, what he's directing you to do. Amen? Praise God. Go to Revelation 12. His testimony. Has everybody got a testimony? You know, he's building your testimony. Everybody's testimony is being built, getting enlarging. Everything is enlarging. Territories are enlarging. The kingdom of God is enlarging. Everything is enlarging. There is a haste and there is a pace that God has set and established. And we must learn to walk with it. We can't go ahead of them and we can't lag behind. There is a pace and the pace has increased tremendously. We are getting closer and closer. Close, man. In Revelation chapter 12, in verse 10 it says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength And the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast out. And they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb and the what? Word of their testimonies, and they did not love their lives to what? Ooh, wow. To death. In other words, one of the areas of overcoming is you cannot, we talked about this Friday night. What the enemy tries to do to us constantly is to cause us to lean on our own understanding. Amen? That's why you cannot come to a place where you've forgotten where you've come from. Because if you lose the area where you forgot where you come from, you're going to begin to lean on your own understanding. Because when you remember where you came from, you remember that you were always leaning on your own understanding. Does everybody get it? You cannot lose or forget where you came from. And it's important that we maintain an area of stop leaning on your goofy understanding. It's soulish arena. Does everybody get it? People are relying on how they feel. They're relying on what they see. They're relying on what they hear. They're relying on what the world says. Hello? There's a standard, let me tell you, of families in the world. You are not the same standard. If you believe that you're normal, you're in trouble. You are not normal according to the world. You are normal according to the eternal world, the kingdom. Amen? Don't say, well, we have a normal family. Listen, you better not have a normal family. Because a normal family is watching The Simpsons. Hello? They're watching The Simpsons. That's a normal family. They're watching soap operas. That's a normal family. They're watching Sex in the City. That's a normal family. Hello? I won't go any further than that. We are not normal families. We are eternal families. There is a difference. Okay. Praise God. Go to Proverbs 3, please. You know, the world looks at marriage in an area where, okay, well, we're tired of each other. Let's just find somebody else. Once there's no more fulfillment in their marriage, they look somewhere else. See, it's because they've opened themselves for each other to fulfill one another. When nobody can fulfill one another. Only the king can fulfill you. See, but normal families look in that arena. Hello? You must be married to the Lord, not to your spouse. You are married to your spouse when you are married to the Lord. See, God brings it. Even Paul said, listen, even though that you are married, now don't take this wrong. I better clarify this right now. Do not take this wrong. Hello? I am not telling you to act like you're not married. Hello? But Paul was using that expression. He said, listen, because of the way things are and time is short, act like you're not married. In other words, continue to do the things of God just like you're not married. Does everybody understand that? In other words, don't let marriage hinder what you're supposed to be doing. Because people were getting so caught up in one another, they were losing sight of what they were supposed to do for the Lord. Does everybody get that? No problems. Nothing's thrown, so praise God. Nobody left. Everybody's a go. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3. I won't go any further with that. I ain't sticking my foot in my mouth. Glory to God. Proverbs 3. I'm not against marriage, all right? Praise God. I think people should get married in God's timing and with the right person. Glory. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. And some are better off not married, praise God. Sure got hot in here. Some of y'all got red. For all you spouse hunters, God will bring the spouse. You don't have to hunt for one. When you begin to hunt for one, you've lost focus. Yes, I'm looking for a woman. I'm looking for a husband. You better look for the Lord before you lose everything. Get back where you're supposed to. All right. I'll settle down right now. I see so many people fall out of position. It's phenomenal. Fulfillments of the... They have a lust affair instead of a trust affair. Okay, verse 5. Are you there? Proverbs 3. Would you read it with me quickly? Let's start at verse 1. Make it a little bit longer here. Smooth this right out. Okay. My son, my daughter, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life, in peace, they will what? Add to you. How many of y'all need peace? How many of y'all need long days? Amen. How many of y'all want a long life to fulfill what God has asked you to do? Then don't become hunters. Hunt demons instead. I'm getting out of help. Verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Verse 5. Come on. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. See, when you haven't really truly given your whole heart to the Lord, you're still trusting in you. It doesn't matter what kind of circumstance comes across your path. If you're caught up, listen, if you're so caught up in your circumstance, you're not right. You got to be trusting in God. Amen? This is what causes people to try to fix their circumstances instead of waiting on strategies. Because the first thing they're going to do is fix it. Listen. Oh, the devil loves to put things in order, too. Let me tell you, he'll open the door. It won't be him. But see, in these last days, there's two things we need to be. We need to have what? Faithful to obey and ability to discern. Amen? And the enemy will do things that cause you to sway, won't he? See, but whatever you open your heart to, you better be careful. Remember, we want to share the heart of Christ, not your heart. Your heart is to be in the hands of God, not in the hands of anybody else. The only thing you want to share is the heart of Christ. Amen? But see, people begin to open themselves up and they begin to get sucked into soulish ministry. And that promotes me, myself, and I. And that brings, listen, God is not leading individuals in emotion. He's leading them by their spirit. When people are always telling me, well, this is how I've been led by how I felt, be careful. Because your feelings are deceiving. People who make decisions by how they feel usually make wrong ones. Amen? There's a difference between an impression and a feeling. And that's what you must discern. Does everybody get this? Hallelujah. Good. He says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And don't lean on your own emotions, your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll what? He's going to direct your paths. He's not, let me tell you something. The Bible says that He'll establish your steps. Listen, those who acknowledge God, He'll establish your steps. Those who commit to Him, their works will establish your thoughts. You must allow God to build the house. All of this is in preparation for ministries of kings and to overcome. We've got to stop leaning on our own understanding. You know, so the car ran over your dog. Hallelujah. Bury it. Put your little cross on there. Hello? And go on. Does everybody get it? I've seen people still mourning over animals. I mean, it's been years. Amen. I told you about the story about that one woman that, you shouldn't go there. You know, hallelujah. This one woman that, when I was in the secular, and she was in the drug world with us, and one night we were, my wife and I and everybody, we were at our house, and she come pulling up, gets out of the car, screaming and freaking out. I'm freaking out. I come running out there. What's the matter? Her dog died. She was talking to her. Probably about 25 miles, she was talking to her dog. It didn't move. It was dead. But she didn't know that. That's why they call it dope. I mean, you're talking 1 o'clock in the morning, 12:30. I don't know. This girl opens the door, tells the dog to come on out. And the dog didn't budge, man. All of a sudden, she's screaming out there. I'm thinking she's getting held up or something, or the police are out there or whatever. After I finally decide to open my door. I said, what are you doing out here, man? Shut up. My dog is dead. All right, well, let's just dig a hole and bury it. Oh, no, man, we had to wrap it in this thing. So we got this blanket, pulled out the dog, dragged it in the backyard. I mean, it's nuts. Man, let's just bury the thing and go on. But I'm telling you what, this girl mourned for weeks. Oh, my dog. See, but that's the world, isn't it? The secular arena. Because, you know, hey, you know, people are, dogs, man's best friend's a dog, right? An animal. I mean, it comforts the elderly. You know what I'm saying? Animals are wonderful things. But let me tell you, there's a point where you just got to say, okay, enough's enough. You can't get caught up in this soulish arena where constant mourning. People mourn over their loved ones who've died. And there's nothing wrong with mourning. But let me tell you, 5 years later, you got to go on. Hello? You got to go on. You must do things because God is causing you to do them. Not because you're doing something to please your spouse, your family, or anyone else. You must do things to please God. Does everybody understand that? See, those are being prepared for the ministry of kings. Does everybody get it? We cannot lean on our own understanding, can we? Let's go on. Verse 7. Do not be what? Don't be wise in your own eyes. Prideful, haughty thing. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Right? Don't be pride in your own eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. It's just number pride. What are they doing? They're now relying on their own strength again. Their own wisdom, their own understanding, and so forth. They're not releasing this. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So we must come to a place. The second thing we must do is stop leaning on our own understanding. Does everybody understand that? In other words, you have the ability now to deny yourself. You are taking the authority and the ability to deny yourself. Why? Because if you're leaning on your own understanding, you're fellowshipping with self. And we do not want to fellowship with self. We must have victory over self. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2. Is everybody okay? Glory. Ephesians 2. It's just for you. Praise be to God. Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, I can tell you all kinds of stories of my past, let me tell you. They're still laughing up there. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1. Is everybody there? Can we read this together, please? And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the counts or the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Hey, he hasn't stopped yet. Hello? The prince of power of air. He's not stopped. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of what? Wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ by grace when you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in what? Heavenly places in Christ. Wow. That in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace and his kingdom toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not works, lest anyone should boast. In other words, eternal life was made available to you. Not anything that you've done, but everything that he did. Amen? It was made available to you. But grace is a representation of God's will. Amen? So God made a way of escape, didn't he? He said, come on in. Yeah, okay. You become a believer. Yes, I've accepted. You've got eternal life, right? And he says, okay, now follow me. Follow? Well, I don't know if I really want to do that. See ya. Hello? See, people misinterpret grace totally. They think it's something that can be trampled on. Think it can be something abused. No. Grace is the will of God. It's the plan of God in action. Does everybody understand that? Good. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 10. Is everybody there? For we are his what? Workmanship. Say, I'm his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should what? That we should what? Walk in them. You see, these things were prepared so that you and I can walk with them. That's grace, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. The third thing we must understand is that we are his workmanship. We are his what? Workmanship. In other words, God ain't done with you yet. God's not done with you yet. Man. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 11. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all that's within us, bless his holy name. 2 Corinthians 11. Praise your name. 2 Corinthians 11. Is everybody there? In verse 12. Let's read it together. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things which they boast. In other words, they are boasting in things they can't follow. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. In other words, positioning them, calling themselves prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and so forth, when they haven't been fulfilled, they've not fulfilled their priesthood, and they're self-promoting themselves into positions they have no right to. Listen, just because somebody goes to a cemetery school doesn't mean that they've earned that position by God. Knowledge does not put you in position. Does everybody get it? Knowledge does not put people in position. God calls someone, and as you're faithful, hello? As you have the ability to discern more and you are able to become more faithful in obedience, God puts you in position. It has nothing to do with knowledge. Knowledge does not put you in position. Knowledge exposes the powers of darkness and it gives you an ability to discern. Does everybody get that? Good. See, just because somebody goes through cemetery or seminary school, I call it cemetery school because most people come out of there deader than doornails, not filled with the Spirit. That's why you got to go through the school of the Spirit, not the school of the letter. Amen? Because the letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. I get people coming to me all the time, yeah, man, I went through seminary school. I did this and I did that. I said, bummer, why are you still serving the devil? All this knowledge didn't do you no good. Hello? Why? Because two things. You must have what? The ability to discern and faithfulness to obey. That's when God promotes you. Okay. Let's go a little further. Where are we at? Somebody turn the page on me. Okay. And, oh yeah, oh, look at this one. Verse 14. Are you ready? No wonder, come on, and no wonder for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness whose end will be according to their works. Wow. Oh, there's a lodge of, I'm telling you, I'm not going there. That's what I'm telling you. Praise God. We must maintain discernment. Amen? Let me share, that's the fourth thing. We must maintain discernment. And this discernment is established by training, fellowship, and relationship. Does everybody get it? This training is established by fellowship. I mean, the discernment is established by training. And it's training by the Holy Spirit, which is involved in fellowship, relationship, and experiences. So everybody got it? How many of y'all are going to learn from your experience? Amen. You're not going to step in front of that car anymore. You're going to get hurt. Hello? Does everybody understand it? You know, people learn by their experiences. Trial and error. Amen? But see, in this, just like when we started today, we talked about, because it's a season of overcome, and we must overcome or we'll be overcome. Amen? I don't know if there's a word called overcome, but anyway. We must overcome or we'll be overcome. Amen? And in this right now, we're seeing all of these things that are happening around us. Everybody's going through trials. And, you know, if you're not going through a trial, come and see me. Revelation 2. Sure got hot in here again. Glory to God. Revelation chapter 2. Glory. So we must maintain discernment. Does everybody understand that? And all of this discernment is an area where God, the Holy Spirit, begins to train you in areas of fellowship, relationships, and experiences. How many of y'all know that a trial is an experience? Amen. Okay? He's teaching you discernment. It's like a child. You know, you know, and I did it myself. My mother used to tell me, listen, that stove is hot. Don't touch it. And it wasn't that I didn't believe her. I guess I didn't know what hot was. It will burn you. What's burn? Psst, yo! I knew after that. That experience never led me to touch that stove again in that condition. Hello? Praise God. I'm still trying to figure out how when the Lord told Noah, build this, so many cubits and this, but I didn't know if he knew what a cubit was. But see, God explained it to him. Amen? He wouldn't ask you to do something he didn't already teach you how to do. Does everybody get that? He would not ask you to do something he didn't already teach you how to do. Glory. Does everybody get that? Or he may tell you to do something to train you, to teach you. In other words, get him. That's what I talked about, fellowship. That's what I talked about, relationship. Why? Because then you have others around you that he's going to train you up in the fellowship, because you're going to learn by everybody else's experiences. And while you're learning by everybody else's experiences, he'll allow a trial to come which will represent their experiences and see if you learn off of theirs. Do y'all get it? This is all a part of growing in discernment. Where are we going? 1 Thessalonians 2. Oh, no. Revelation. Chapter 2 and verse 10. Do not fear. Hello? Any of those things which you're about to suffer. Praise God. Indeed, the devil's about to throw some of you into prison. Now, I don't mean jail prison, okay? That you may be what? This is a trial. That you may be what? Tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Glory to God. See, God always rewards your faithfulness. Amen? Go to 1 Thessalonians 2. You can read in the book of Revelation all those areas where he said, he who overcomes. It's powerful what the rewards are. But we are in a season of overcome. We must overcome. And we talked about that this season that we're in, a new season is going to start in September. So you better overcome all the things that you need to do right now, or you'll get caught in a 40-year cycle. To God be the glory. 1 Thessalonians. Everybody there? And chapter 2. Hallelujah. And in verse something. Oh, okay. Verse 17. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again. But what? Satan hindered us. Let me tell you, Satan's always going to hinder you. That's his job. He's going to try to hinder you. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? It is not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming. For you are our glory and our joy. Now understand this. Satan is always going to try to hinder. He's always there to try to move you out of position. In fact, you don't even have to go there. I'll tell you, in 1 Chronicles 21, in verse 1, the Bible says that Satan caused King David to number the people. Amen? And when he was told not to number the people, and it brought disaster. I'm telling you, it brought disaster where many people died. And Satan's always going to try and come after a leader, no matter what. Not that we're all leaders, amen? You are leaders and kings in every area, especially where you work and so forth and whatever. You are leaders. You're supposed to be the head of your temple, amen? And Christ is the head of you. Does everybody get it? But in this, he was talking about those who in the natural realm or are put in positions and offices, the devil is always going to try to come against them, and he's going to try to cause you to come against them. Does everybody understand that? That's his job. And he's always going to try to prevent you or cause a wrong direction to hinder you from fulfilling what God has called you to do. Amen? Good. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8 that the devil looks for what? Someone to what? He's like a roaring lion seeking somebody who can devour. Amen. And that's where the Lord says, listen, I resist pride, but I give grace. Now, what's grace? The plan of God. To the what? Humble. In other words, he gives them a plan of escape. Amen. Grace is not a free ticket out of jail. Grace is not a free ticket out of hell. Amen? People utilize grace as a free ticket out of hell, and that's incorrect. It's not what the doctrine speaks about. But I'm not going there today. Go to Acts 26. Season of overcome. Got to overcome, or you will be overcome. Acts 26. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, it's a good day to die, isn't it? To yourself. Whew. Acts 26 and verse. I will try 15. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. This is when Saul was visited by the Lord. And he said to him, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a what? Minister and a witness, both of things which you have seen and the things which will yet reveal to you. I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I have now sent you. To what? Open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Let me share something with you important. Never lose focus that your job is to open their eyes. This is your call. To what? Open their eyes. To what? So that they may be released from the power of Satan. Amen? See, it's not just to go out and plant salvation seeds. It's so that they can go further. Amen? To go further. Look at salvation is the greatest gift there is, isn't there? It's the greatest miracle there is. But how many people are lost afterwards? People still come up weekly for salvation over and over and over. It's not about salvation. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, your heart should want to follow Him. Amen? When you blow it, you repent and you go on. And you learn. And you allow these trials and tribulations to bring you discernment. And you get in the grace of God, which is the will of God and the plan of God for your life. And you don't falter out of it. Why? Because your calling is to rescue those from darkness and bring them to light. From the power of Satan and to God. That they may understand forgiveness and understand that they have an inheritance. And that they not only will be empowered with the Holy Spirit to continue on to be an extension of God's hands, His feet, His mouth, His heart, His will. Amen? Remember, Jesus came. He came as an example of what a king should be. 1 Timothy 4. Is everybody there? You guys are quick this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Satan will always try to hinder you. Hallelujah. In verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in a later time some will depart from the faith. In other words, they will depart from the will of God. Amen. They're still believers, but they're departing from the will of God, aren't they? Giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Wow. Now I want to share something very, very important. And some of it was shared Friday night. One of the things that we are in a season of overcome. I'm telling you two tremendous areas where people are being overcome is in the spirit of Jezebel and Ahab. Does everybody get it? Now, it's a representation, Jezebel representation, the spirit of control. Amen? Ahab is a wimpy spirit. It's a representation of the spirit of fear. So Jezebel is a representation of the spirit of pride. Amen? And control. Ahab is a representation of a spirit of fear and wimpy. Does everybody get it? And in this, it doesn't matter whether a man can have a spirit of Jezebel and a woman can have a spirit of Ahab. But these are the two spirits that are we must overcome. These are the ones that the powers of darkness are raising up to come against the body of Christ right now. And they promote, let me share with you. When we talked about the importance, the Bible says, forsake not to assemble and so forth, submit to God and resist the devil. And what it does is, in these areas, these spirits promote an independent spirit. And when an independent spirit is birthed, those two spirits are controlling it. Is everybody with me? An independent spirit. And we must be able to discern this. An independent spirit will go and do what it wants to do. I've seen an independent spirit pull people right out of position. I knew the call in someone's life and that independent spirit will show right up. And no matter what you try to share with, they'll say, well, God told me. Well, God told me. Well, God told me. Well, God told me. They cannot receive with the office that God spoke through. They can only receive with their hearing. Does everybody understand that? That is an independent spirit. And those people will go out and start ministries without being sent. Come on, do you get it? And the two major strongholds behind that, strong men, is Jezebel and Ahab. And it will promote, it also promotes religiosity. Amen? It has a wimpy spirit, a spirit of fear, a prideful spirit, and a spirit of control. And it promotes an independent spirit that is very difficult to submit to. That individual is hard in submitting to things of God. They believe they're submitting to the things of God, but they can't submit to an office or to a man or woman in position. Are you hearing me? Good. Now remember, Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception, and his power is fear. 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 And James 4. Almost done. Couple left. James 4. Season of overcome. Glory to God. So the first thing we got to do is what? Don't forget where you came from, huh? Amen? Second thing is stop leaning on your own understanding. The third thing is we must understand that we are workers, or we are His workmanship. The fourth thing that we must do is constantly maintain discernment. Amen? And understand that things that God is positioning us, He's training us. Amen? And your trials and so forth. Has everybody got it? The fifth thing is understand that our job is to open their eyes. In other words, your call. Hello? Your call. You must be worthy to fulfill. In other words, there is a purpose. What is it for? To rescue. You mean you were rescued to rescue? Yes. Yes, you were. You were rescued to rescued. Hello? Praise God. In James 4, and start at verse 1, it says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your what? Desires for pleasure that war in your what? In your members. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And when you do, you ask and do not receive, and because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures and lustful desires. Amen? He calls them adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. The sixth thing is we must recognize unhealthy desires. We must recognize unhealthy desires. Let's go to James 1 while we're here. Put a little bit more icing on the cake. James 1. In verse 21 it says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of a wickedness. You think those are associated with unhealthy desires? Amen. And receive with the meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be what? Doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately, what? Forgets what kind of man he was. Woo. So there's an area where we constantly must recognize unhealthy desires and habits, because they will always allow. Let me share something with you. When you begin to recognize these things, you begin to resist them, and it will constantly allow you to have your focus broadened. If you can't recognize these things, your focus will begin to narrow. So we got it. We were talking about that. Now I want to close at Jude. Jude 20. Jude 20. Hallelujah. Now, before I finish this, I want to go back one more thing about Jezebel and Ahab. Jezebel and Ahab spirits are territorial spirits. They are territorial spirits, okay? Does everybody hear me? And in these territorial spirits, they are promoting an independent spirit, and it causes division, amen? And it establishes an individual to pick up wrong assignments. And by doing this, it causes that individual to insert rebellion to the perfect will. Okay, I want to share that one more time so that we get this. Jezebel and Ahab are territorial spirits, all right? They are promoters of an independent spirit that causes division. It causes an individual to be established in the wrong assignment. And the worst thing that we could do is be successful in the wrong assignment. Amen? And it causes that individual to insert rebellion against the perfect will, because they can't discern it. Okay? It's so important that we get this. Jezebel and Ahab are territorial spirits. That's why we constantly got to drive out these spirits out of our territories. That's why we constantly got to, we must bind the powers of darkness and principalities. Believe me, if you're not attacking, you will be attacked every day. If you're an individual that is just relying on grace, you're deceived. Hello? Because grace is God's plan in action. Does everybody get it? Oh, I'm saved. That's good. Are you doing anything? No, I'm saved. So you're not taking territory. No, I'm not taking any territory. Well, then you're disobedient. Does everybody get it? Because God rescued you to rescue and to what? Become a warrior and to take territory. To plant. To pull down. Glory. In Jude 20, would you read it with me? But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, which means tongues, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction or discernment. But on others, with what? Save with what? Fear. Yeah, Holy Ghost bazooka. Holy Ghost baseball bat. Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. In other words, rescue them. You know, that's where the chastening of the Lord comes, doesn't it? In verse 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. So the seventh thing you want to do is to keep yourself in the love of God. Amen. Keep yourself in the love of God. Glory to God. The Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. Amen. Keep yourself in the love of God and maintain a steadfastness of your authority of who you are. Has everybody got it? Oh, we are in the season of overcome. Overcome or be overcome. Your choice. And to God be the glory. Father, we thank you for your word and we are honored and blessed. We ask you to prepare our hearts for communion. Again, we take authority and we rebuke the powers of darkness that have caused us by ignorance, self-will, fleshly desires, unhealthy desires, to come in communion and a covenant with the voice of the stranger. Lord, again, we repent for all of those areas. We ask for your forgiveness for not taking authority and dominion. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord, of losing sight and forgetting where we came from. Please continue to search us through. Remove those things from us and empower us with the strength to say yes to you and the power to say no to Satan's kingdom. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.